Oh, great to have your company. Listeners of the program would understand that Wisp thinks he's the Wordle guru, the Wordle master. You're into your sixth try. You've got one letter.
I'm into the fifth line. I've got one letter, and I am stumped. God, and I don't want anybody.
Nothing is working today.
I don't want anybody sending anything through on the text to help me. But
you've taken your mind off the show.
I have a little bit. But having said that, I'm back on the show. I'm on the Today Show now because they're holding a 40-year anniversary type celebration on their program in the morning, and still no sign. I reckon probably the biggest show that they ever had on today was day that they found Saddam Hussein.
Yes.
And you happened to be in the hosting room. And Gary.
I was a touch
I
out of it.
I've never seen anyone more uncomfortable on TV than what you were that morning.
Don't you?
Ever.
It'll come
and
up.
You tried to be really serious.
I knew
and knowledgeable and worldly.
Johnny Howard's walking
and you didn't
by me.
Pull it off very well.
We're supposed
at all.
To be talking about Christmas gifts. Anyway.
Did you try and excuse yourself from the show that morning?
I'll tell you later.
I'm going to ring Carl. Have you got Carl's number?
Yes.
I'm going to give him a call after the show, see if we can't get it on for tomorrow.
They're a different breed up in Sydney. Unlike this man who's about to join us, who's been the coach for God knows how long. He's one of the most successful coaches in the competition. The Swans are just going nicely. They are 9-5 in sixth position in a very even year. Johnny Longmire, love it when he takes our call and has a chat to us. Welcome, Horse.
G'day, guys, Tim.
Can you believe that Saddam Hussein popped his head out of a manhole the morning that Gary was hosting the Today Show?
He handled it well, Tim, by
the head. A little out of a depth horse, to be fair, but anyway, just bluff your way along to see how you can go. Anyway, enough of that. How you seen it, the year? It is, I mean, how good's footy right now? Are we looking at the ladder, you got the Demons up there, and then you can go all the way around to the Port Adelaide, really. We just spoke to Kenny Hinkley in 12 spots. So is it as wide open as you've seen it for a while?
Oh, absolutely. It's you go to every game now, and it's just so tough. It's really even. There's no question about that. And even during the course of the game, it's probably as much as I've seen the momentum swings during courses of games as well, that different teams getting the momentum for 10 or 15-minute periods. And that can be the difference between winning and losing. So it's, I'm sure it's great for the AFL and the fans. It's tough for coaches and to try and sort of, you have to live on the edge every week.
Hey, Johnny, what do you put that down to, those momentum shifts and how difficult it is in games at the moment? Is there some change in the way that coaches are going about their instruction to teams and the way they play?
Oh, I think there's a couple of things. I mean, the 6-6-6 rule means that if you lose momentum out of centre bounces, it has a big sway in how the game's going. You get territory and then you can score off that. Whereas, a number of years ago, you could start with seven behind the ball. I think that has a big part in it. The stand rule is probably another one that once a team gets momentum, it's very hard to pull that back. And I think then there's different things in different teams. We've got some younger players that are still learning that momentum swings and how to control the game at different times. So everyone's got their own little stories inside that as well.
And, I mean, Gary made the point this morning that this is just sort of like an eye test, but he thinks that maybe some coaches are throwing players around positionally, changing them more than what they have in the past.
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair comment. And I think that's, the reason why, I'm not sure. I mean, everyone's once again got their own stories in their own clubs why they do that. But there's probably a little bit more experimentation going on amongst the teams as well. And particularly once you need to win and at different times of the game, or how you change your style as well as position-wise and different things to try and get an advantage.
Just on that, Paddy McCartan, has he overshot your expectations? For putting the health part to one side, but what he's been able to do out there on the field as a key defender?
Well, I think he's played 12 games now, Tim, in defence in his whole life. So it's fair to say he's exceeded them a little bit. It's I just think it's wonderful, isn't it? Like the McCartan family are just fantastic, and to be able to see to understand Paddy's story and what he's been through, and and he was on the hub with us last year, and then to come on onto the list and grab his chance and be really consistent down back. He's still learning the craft of defending, and but he's been fantastic for us this year. He's been terrific.
But that's been a Sydney trait for a long time, is that players can go there for all different reasons, whether it's looking for another chance or you've traded and you know, big names have gone up there. But the one consistent thing is they get immersed into the group really well and they all speak so glowingly of it. I mean, can you give us a bit of an insight, or do you want to keep it a secret? Or what is it about the actual club that allows them to strive and thrive in the manner that they have?
I'm not sure. There's probably a number of different things. I mean, I hope, you know, we do the majority of things okay. There's plenty of things we don't do well and we need to get better at. But we're probably some of the disadvantages of having the real challenges of having so many players from outside of Sydney can turn into an advantage. And so our boys are pretty tight. They're a pretty tight group, and a number of them live together. And I think that's a really good sign when you know during the week if they go out for dinner, there's 15 or 20 of them as a group, and a good young group that likes spending time together, I think, is really important. And having the ability to be able to switch off, they can have, you know, they can walk down the street and have their own life, and then come into the footy club, get their footy fix, and walk out the door and live a relatively normal life. And I think that's a thing I notice up here more than anything, that they're able to just switch off from footy. And I think that's really valuable.
And that yoga class that Tim's fascinated with, as always, holds him in good stead. Hey, yeah, well, tell us about the COVID drama that you had on the weekend, because I did see you. We saw the CEO down there with the headset on.
Yep, Andrew Pridham, my head trainer at the weekend as well.
it was Thursday, sort of late things we found out weren't going according to plan. We lost our three coaches, and three players in the space of a few hours. So things changed pretty quickly. And with footy departments are pretty thin now anyway. So when you lose three staff members, you look around and what are we going to do? Tom Harley spent some time on the bench with us in the hub over the last couple of years. He's our CEO. He jumps on the bench, and we're just fantastic. You know, we're just really blessed to have a bloke like Tom to draw upon. And his footy knowledge, and he's done it before. Charlie Gardner put the pink on, and he was a runner as a footy manager and did a really good job. And Josh Kennedy was our stoppage coach, so we had to make some on-the-run adjustments.
Was there any thought bringing Steve Torbett back into the fold and just giving him a job for the day?
No, we've been fighting over the lollies, Tim, so we couldn't afford to do that for the day.
Hey, you've been you're sort of like the elder statesman of the coaching fraternity now, and you've been pretty outspoken about the reduction and the soft cap and, you know, the workload and that type of thing on the modern-day coach. Are you happy with, like, there's been an extension to that amount that you're allowed to pay within the football club? Is it enough, or does it need to be stretched a little bit further?
Oh, I think it's the bare minimum, Tim. I think there are a number of levers that could have been pulled, a percentage of the coach's wage out of the cap or different things that could have helped as well. I think it's the bare minimum. And, we want this industry to be really really sought after positions in the industry, and we saw on the weekend how stretched we are when there wouldn't be too many professional sports that have to draw upon their footy manager and CEO to help out on match day, and things happen to different staff members during the year, it's pretty tough on them. So I think it's the bare minimum. It'll help a little bit, but the reality is there's still some way to go.
Where would you like to see it go?
I just think, as I mentioned, that it's the minimum amount. I think the coach's wage out of the cap would have been useful, but it is what it is. The president's voted it down, as I understand it. So we get on with business.
Hey, I've got a couple of questions, as we always do, from the text machine that come through. Lewis Mellican and Joel Amati, how are those boys tracking? And Josh Kennedy with the hamstring.
Yeah, they both of them had really interrupted pre-seasons, Mellican and Joel. They had really interrupted over the a number of months over the pre-season. And over the last three or four weeks, they're both playing really good footy. So they're back in the frame now. They're fit and have been playing well, getting some consistent training under their belt. So that's a good sign. Josh Kennedy's back training now, which is great news. And so he's had the last couple of sessions. He's got through. So we look forward to seeing how he goes again next week, stepping it up in speed. So hopefully they're tracking okay.
And was Lewis Taylor your sub on the weekend? Did I see that?
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
So he's not far away.
Yeah, he's been playing good, consistent footy in our reserves, like Ryan Clark. Those guys have been going really well in the reserves. Clarky got a game on the weekend, and Louis was sub. So, you know, those guys have been consistent and really good attitude as well, which has been terrific.
And Logan McDonald, are you happy with the progress that he's starting to make now too, John?
Yeah, I think that all key forwards, Tim, you know, we know that they go up and down at different times. And you know, Logan's played some really good footy over the last sort of 4 to 6 weeks at different times. Sometimes on the weekend a little bit quieter, but you know, we're really confident in the way he's tracking. We think he's going to be a really good player for us. So, you know, we're happy with the way he's developing.
Hey, we're about to do our wine segment, one of our most popular segments. Horse, do you like a little drop of the old red or not?
Absolutely.
What's your favourite? What's your preferred drop?
Well, I come from up at Coral near Rutherglen. I have a liqueur muskets and a Shiraz up there. I don't mind that at all.
Well, yeah. You seem to know a fair bit about it, horse.
After a few beers, though, I'll start off with a straight bat.
Just quickly, a message has just come through. Your nephew, Jed Longmire, apparently blossoming at Assumption College. He's the captain and he's a tough inside mid. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. He's my brother's boy, and Jed is going to Assumption College. He's captain of the footy team there, and really loving it. Absolutely having a ball.
That's great. And actually, I'd had one more. Sorry, Will Gould is a young man who looked like a man when he was playing under 18 footy for South Australia, and you guys took him early in the piece. But so I haven't seen much of him. So what can you tell us?
Yeah, I reckon I spoke to him last week. He's probably had as good a 6 to 8 week period as he's had since he's been in the footy club. He's been really consistent with Paddy McCartan and Tommy and Blakey and Lamps. Those guys have been playing pretty good footy. So we think of the way he's going at the moment, he's tracking really positively. So we're pleased with how he's been going.
Good on you, horse. Love talking to you too. We had both you and Kenny, two of our favourites this morning. So it's been fantastic to have a chat, and good luck for the rest of the year.
Good on you. Thanks, boys. See ya.
On you, John.
Johnny Longmire, coach of the Sydney Swans. Oh, he's a little spark coming in the voice when we mentioned the red wine.
Didn't it? What?
Hey,
he's a musket man. Who would have thought?
He might be a chance for our lunch.
Yeah. Well, do you reckon we could fly him down? He might do a spot.
Oh, it's in, actually, Georgie Samios is going to join us after 8:30. He's going to give the details of his lunch. I think he'll be busy. It's still in season, isn't it, this lunch?
It is. It's going to be in August, Gary. I think we've identified a day in August, a Thursday in August, but we'll let George announce that when he comes on with us after 8:30 this morning.